Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA, and welcome to our podcast today, episode 54, which is part two of Uptown Funk, Downtown Grand. And on this December 20th afternoon, we're so close to Christmas, our audience is out shopping and we have a much smaller group. But here they are, and thanks for coming back, everyone. It's nice to have that friendly digital support, because we got some rough messages, not on our last episode, which went over really big. We had some big numbers those first couple of days of the podcast. Wow, we were really happy. But people are still calling in about our podcast on dice control. Yes, no, maybe. Wow. And all we suggested was that we don't believe in dice control, but we think you can influence the dice, the outcomes, by a particular set. But you can't control it, and you certainly can't do it consistently. But here's just a little flavoring of what the kind of messages we were getting.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
And here's a couple more. We'll make them sort of short and sweet.
You suck, you jackass.
You disgust me.
Hey, all kidding aside, if you do want to call our voicemail or answering service, which answers 24/7, just give us a buzz at 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. Oh my. And you know, we will talk a little bit about dice control today, or dice setting, because we had a big afternoon on Fremont Street, and we'll talk about that. And came home with over a grand because of that episode. And we borrowed a dice set from the Bone Thrower, although we don't subscribe to much of what he says. We had never used the set that he was talking about in one of his YouTube videos, and we had some big success with it. So kudos off to the Bone Thrower, whom we've never met and don't know. But anyway, that dice set paid off big time for us. So we'll be right back after a very short break and pick up where we left off, and we're starting with the transition between 4 days at Bally's and our move to the Luxor. Okay, we'll be right back. I wanted to be certain to mention to our listeners that there is a rock group at Bally's, very unusual. They're referred to as the Bronx, from New York, of course, the Bronx Wanderers. And the group was put together by a man who was an executive at Columbia Records when Columbia Records was big time. And he always wanted to have a rock group. That's what drove him into the business in the first place. But it ended up he was on the executive side of things, and he was associated with some big time artists. But when he left Columbia, in his late 50s, he put together this group, and he's the oldest member, and the other members seem to me like they're in their mid-late 20s, maybe a couple in their 30s, and a couple great musicians there. One plays with Bon Jovi. Another one was in the movie Jersey Boys as a drummer, so they have some big-time people, and they just put on a performance. They entertain all ages, and they draw from the 60s, the 70s, a little bit of Elvis. They even have a surf medley. It makes me want to jump on a table and table surf. They just have a number of things that that most people would enjoy. But they also do modern artists, and particularly the younger group takes over, the younger members of the group. And one of the reasons we called the episodes 53 and 54 Uptown Funk was because of this group, the Bronx Wanderers, because they do Bruno Mars better than Bruno Mars does Bruno Mars. I don't know how else to put it. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, they do Queen, too. So if you're at Bally's, very reasonably priced show. In 2018, they were working 7 days a week. I don't know what their plans are for 2019. But if you can catch a show, an expensive show, It's well worth it. The Bronx Wanderers. So please go to their website, check them out. It's well worth it. Great entertainers. So we didn't talk to anyone when we checked into Bally's on that Monday of Thanksgiving week. And the Friday morning that we checked out, we didn't talk to anybody either because we just checked out by email. So that was great. And the reason we checked out early was because we got an email from the Luxor. I have the M-Life app, and it said your room is ready. And I think, boy, oh boy, we are ready to go. So we had some of that coffee, and you know, we caught a Uber over to the Luxor. So we're all excited about that. And it was the same thing there. You know, we checked in at the Luxor with early check-in, and it was all automated with one exception. The room keys couldn't print out. And so the people behind the desk saw that. If I recall, they also have three or four screens that you can check in if you have paid for early check-in. And we paid. It was $30. Boy, the Luxor lines on a Friday morning. It was noon. I'm talking 150. That was going to be a wait. So thank goodness. That's why I'm telling you, spend the money and get these early check-ins because you get to your room so fast and you can enjoy the day so much more than just being uptight standing in those lines. So again, within 5, 8, 9 minutes, you know, we were checked in and on our way. And we're going to tell you, we have stayed in the Pyramid in a Pyramid suite, but you know, the Pyramid, you know, it's past due in terms of needs to be remodeled, those rooms. But the East Tower has been remodeled, and we were in an elite room upgrade in the East Tower. Pictures of this room are on our Facebook, Casinos USA. But I want to tell you, this room had a wonderful tub, a separate shower. It had two safes, one in a closet and one in a pull-out drawer. You know, it's one of the newer safes. It had the latest television. It was just wonderful. The room was wonderful. And when you consider all we paid for it for 4 days, that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We left on a Tuesday morning to fly home back to Pittsburgh. Goodness gracious, how can you beat it? We paid $30, you know, for that early check-in. That was it. It was wonderful. And if you think the Luxor is not a hip place, let me tell you, it is a hip place. And one of the things that's happening with the M Life properties and then into the Strip, let me just recount this for you. You're talking here about Mandalay Bay, and there's a walkway, of course, to the Luxor, and from the Luxor there's a walkway to the Excalibur, and then you can leave the Excalibur and go into New York, New York, and then you can leave New York, New York, go outside, and you're close to Park MGM, which makes you able to walk to T-Mobile Arena. And if you don't want to walk, you can take the tram from the Luxor, as we did, or from Mandalay Bay to Excalibur, jump out, walk through the Excalibur to New York, New York, go outside, and you're Park MGM, and you're in that, just a few minutes from T-Mobile Arena. So Janie will be stopping by and telling you what the Golden Knights experience is like to go see a hockey game, which we did. Janie, I know you were a hockey fan and a Marc-Andre Fleury fan before the Golden Knights even existed. But all of a sudden, you're following those Golden Knights, and we had the experience of actually seeing a game.
Oh, and what an experience that was. It's hard for me to even describe it. I've been to Penguins games, and they're fun. A live hockey's always fun. Much better than when you see it on TV, feeling the coldness of the arena where with the ice and hearing the skates, all that. But in Las Vegas, everything's a production. Everybody's an entertainer. It was just such an experience. Just even the walk to the arena. We went through New York, New York. We cut through there, went downstairs where their casino is. Then there's a back door there, and you go out, and you're right in the park. And it's an amazing park. I hadn't been in it before. There's just so much activity there, and tables to sit down, and just people all over the place. People dressed, of course, in knight's gear, and mentioning my daughter also, who we had to be stopped every 15 minutes because she not only has the Marc-Andre Fleury shirt, but she has the leggings. Now, they're not Fleury leggings, but they are knight's leggings. So I don't know how many people she had to tell where she got those. So she was in full gear. And I couldn't believe the number of shirts and fans. And actually, when you're in the game, that whole park is filled with fans that are watching it on TVs and in the various bars that are there and restaurants, and then standing out there and listening to it. So party activity, it just doesn't end. You go into the arena, and the music is there. There's plenty of concession stands. We just said, I can't even describe how much fun it was. There's always celebrities there. Somebody that lives in Las Vegas or somebody who's visiting Las Vegas. And, of course, then the camera hones in on them. Or if the stadium announcer or the arena announcers will talk to them to put them on camera.
I can't get over how when the camera, you know, the big wide screens that you see when the camera's going around on a blimp and shooting everyone. I don't care what age. I mean, senior citizens and 5-year-olds get up and dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did notice that. You know, sometimes when a camera is somewhere, someone sees themselves on the TV in the arenas, people shy back or they cover their face or they turn their head. Not there. No, sir, not there. People stand up. I mean, they can be half asleep. They can be eating, on their phones, whatever. They get up and they start singing, dancing, cheering.
And I know Fleury's unbelievable. It was his second shutout. It was, what, 5-0, I think. They played the Sharks. But all of a sudden, we saw this blasting on all the screens. Free donuts, free donuts. And people started screaming. Can you explain to the listeners what the free donuts are about?
Right, yeah. What you do when the Knights win, anytime they win. First, we thought it was just when there was a shutout. But it's anytime they win, you take your ticket receipt, your stub, your ticket stub to a Krispy Kreme donut outlet or store or shop, wherever they're sold, and you get a free dozen. Now, they have to all be glazed donuts, but still, you get a free dozen donuts.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought we'd get one donut each. And then you check, where did you get those donuts?
Well, I went to Excalibur has a little, they used to actually make them in Excalibur. They had a whole place where you could go. I took our grandkids there once and showed them, you know, at the process of making the donuts. You could watch that. But now they just have a counter space there and they sell them. So I got my free donuts there. I got one dozen there, which we didn't. We only took a half a dozen. I gave my one grandson the other half. And then I gave him, also gave him the stub to take it somewhere else. They're good for like 2 days, I think, the stubs. But it was just so much fun at that. And, of course, well, it wasn't a loss. It was a shutout, and it was, what, 6-0?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I said 5-0, but I think it was 6-0.
No, it was 6-0.
Yeah, and the Sharks, you know, are a decent team.
Oh, they're a very good team. But they also have other things they do. They have the band there, the light-up band that comes through the stands. They have such an opening production there.
Oh, I looked over to my left, and there's dancing girls. They go all
right. Oh, yeah, they come in. Yeah, that we're dancing in the aisles. It's the biggest ticket in Vegas at the moment, and it is worth it. It's really fun.
Well, I think most listeners probably know the Golden Knights are right now the only professional team in Las Vegas, and it's a hockey team, of course. But what's coming in 2020?
Well, the Las Vegas Raiders are going to play their first game in August of 2020, and the NFL Draft of 2020 will be held in Las Vegas. The stadium, which we saw, I mean, my daughter took us past this, is 30% finished right now, and it looks amazing. So, and you can see it from a lot of venues in Las Vegas.
Can you imagine, because I know this happens in Pittsburgh, there could be a crossover, hockey season's going on and NFL season's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So there could be a home game with the Las Vegas Raiders and the Golden Knights. Can you think that might be right?
Well, I told one of the cab drivers who was complaining one night about the traffic, And I said, you know, wait a minute. Wait till you get the Raiders and the Knights on the same day or night, and you'll see what traffic is like. And, you know, he just shook his head. So what doesn't Las Vegas have in professional sports now?
Okay, so we have a hockey team in Vegas, and we'll have a football team in Vegas. So what's missing?
Well, I guess you could say a baseball team, although they have minor league baseball. But rumor has it, and this is just rumor has it that they're going to try and get a Major League Baseball team, and that possibly the Rio Casino and Hotel, that's been purchased, and supposedly that's going to be torn down to make way for the stadium there. Again, it's all rumor and supposition, but I have it from some pretty good sources. So that'll be the next on the list.
So you're starting a national rumor here.
Right,
there.
I'm starting a national. Well, no, it's already talked about in Las Vegas.
All right, but I don't think that got out of Las Vegas, so that's good.
I don't know. But I loved the Rio. We used to stay there all the time. Of course, they changed things, too. They took away their parade of, you know, the Masquerade. They took away Masquerade Village. They took away the parade in the sky. They changed things that I don't like. So
they kind of dumbed it down a little bit.
Well, yeah. And maybe that's the reason. Apparently, our sources tell us that it may be torn down, and that would make sense to where it is. You can get to it right off Industrial Boulevard, cross the little bridge, and you're right there.
Well, I just have to ask you, would you consider going to Vegas to see the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Las Vegas Raiders?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would. Although I prefer hockey. Really, I prefer the hockey game.
Say, so thanks to my partner in crime and my wife, Janie, for her insights into those experiences. We're going to come right back for something I know many people are waiting for, and that's Crabs Talk today, because we're going to talk about a 6 to 8 hour visit to Fremont Street that we had. And I say 6 to 8 because we had an hour eating breakfast at the Four Queens Magnolia breakfast area. We had a BOGO coupon there, but it was delicious. And also, we had an hour for dinner at the Downtown Grand in their Freedom Restaurant. That was also BOGO. So, and again, when we refer to our BOGO coupons, the two sources are Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor. When you join, you get a rewards book with coupons. And then also, you can buy this in any bookstore almost, American Casino Guide. That's also packed with Las Vegas coupons, a lot of BOGO coupons in there. So that's what we use to eat breakfast and dinner. But the other 6 hours were visits to the casinos on or near Fremont Street. So we'll be right back for Crabs Talk. So we're in the last week of November, and the temperatures are still, daily temperatures are still in the mid-60s. Very comfortable time to go up and down Fremont Street. And you know, you may disagree. I would much rather be on Fremont Street when it's not crowded in the day than to fight through the crowds in at night. The four casinos that I wanted to focus on today with Crabs Talk is Four Queens, the D, the El Cortez, and then finally the Downtown Grand. And, you know, I'm in this dilemma again with dice setting and dice control, and that's why I kind of kidded around at the opening of the podcast about it. I would say at the Four Queens, we stayed there for breakfast. That was about an hour because we talked and, you know, relaxed and so on. But we stayed there another hour to play, and Janie did okay there with the slots. I mean, by okay, I mean she was up $30 or $40 when we left, but I just barely broke even there, and I may have even lost $20, $25, and that was after an hour. Again, these are all $5 tables on Fremont Street, and the dice set that I was using was right beside the stick man to his left. Was one that I had borrowed from a video I had seen on YouTube by the Bone Thrower, and it was a 6-4. The 6 would be the closest to the pit boss and the box man, I should say, and then the 4 would be closest to the stick man and behind them. Remember, the opposite ends of the die are always equal 7. So at the bottom of the die would be a 6 and then be a 1 on the bottom, and then on top is a 4 and the bottom is a 3. Behind the dice, you have a 3 and a 1. A 3 would be the back of the 6, and the 1 would be the back of the 4, which means the front has to be a 4-6. So you have a 6-4, a 3-1, a 3-1 on the bottom, and a 4-6 on the front, which means that the outside of the die are a 5 and a 5, and the inside are a 2 and a 2. And that's how it works. I never had thrown that before. And I threw it all day. And, you know, so if you would have stopped me after the third casino that we're talking about, the El Cortez, I'd have said, hey, this is, there's nothing to it. But it didn't seem that way to Downtown Grand. The four queens tables were beat up. I'd say they're, to me, they need redone. There's a lot of things in the four queens that needs redone. It's not, I mean, it's not horrible, but it's like throwing on your basement floor if you have a concrete floor in your basement. It's just, the tables are ridiculously hard, which means that the dice just go everywhere, you know. So in the D, I was also to the left of the stick man. I lost money at the D, but I want to tell you, I was so disappointed with the D. I it was my first visit since the new ownership, and at least the craps tables, the people at the craps tables, I mean, you know, there were a lot of human smells. This wasn't 95 degree weather or anything like it. This is like, the word I'm thinking about is sleazy. I just didn't feel comfortable there at all. I didn't like the D. I'll give it another chance, but of the ones we went into, I was truly disappointed in the D. The craps tables, people were uptight. I mean, people were playing with scared money, that's for sure. You know, just uptight. Nobody was enjoying themselves, it seemed, you know. All right, now, the El Cortez, I had a lot of fun at the El Cortez. You know, we had a $10 play coupons in those books I mentioned. So I spent at least 40 minutes with Janie, and I don't think we won. We didn't lose a lot in the video, but when I was playing with her, you know, I was down, and I think she was down on that free play. Put in some our own money after the free play evaporated. But the El Cortez, it's like riverboat kind of casino, a lot of the older ones, because it just, the ceilings are so low, you know, just so low. There's some nicer areas to it. I know there's big payouts there. They've been on a streak there with people hitting some big money, but they had a nice video poker area. I took a picture of one of their classic car areas in a bar, and it's nice, you know. But, you know, you're just disappointed when you lose, but I wasn't impressed in terms of the facility. And then the final stop was the Downtown Grand, and that's not exactly on Fremont Street, but it's not far off of it. You just, you know, there's not cars there as you walk to it, so you're secure that way. There's the Mob Museum, Pizza Rock, and then they're all together there. And sort of like a, not a semicircle, but like the edge of a square, and then the Downtown Grand. And we went in, and we also had coupons for free play, but they were having a promotion for first-time visitors. So we ended up with $25 of free play. And Janie said she wanted to go right there. She was fired up. She wanted to go. And I went to the craps table, and she went to use that free play. I still reserve my free play for afterwards. But this time, with that same 6-4 set, the table was very clean. There was maybe 4 other people at the table, 2 to the right hand of the stick man and 2 to the left, and I was the only person at the end of the table. And I was just like right across from the opposite wall, like directly across in the middle, throwing. And it wasn't a huge table. I don't know exactly how long it was, but it just seemed perfect for me. And the felt was new. It was clean. It was nice. And the people at the craps table seemed nice. In fact, most of the people in the downtown Grand seemed like, you know, they were friendly, happy people. And I mean the dealers, which I didn't find that to be true at the D at all. The dealers seemed as uptight as the patrons. The El Cortez, I'd call them neutral. The Four Queen dealers tried to be entertaining and friendly, but the downtown Grand dealers were nice. So the dice are not with me when it starts, but I had a coupon, a match coupon, which it was a $10 match. So even that was a $5 table. I started off and I come out roll. So I just pick up the dice and throw them, hit a seven. So, you know, I got $20. That's a good way to start the game. So then I went back to 3-2-1 craps and I just started making points and I started throwing. And 15 minutes into it, the dealer to my left says, you know, it's not going to get much better than that. You've been at this 15 minutes or so. And I said, well, let me know when I get to 20. And I started pressing everything that I had. I started increasing my odds bets. I started pressing the 6 and 8. And again, I sort of got in a zone with this, and I'm thinking, when you start doing that, you start thinking that dice setting is more than influence. You think it's almost like control. You just, again, but I didn't do it at the Four Queens. I didn't do it at the D, and I didn't do it at the El Cortez. But it seemed like that was in some kind of magical zone. So at the 20-minute mark, I really began to put money on the table. And then that was good because I had 11 minutes. I was, you know, unlike a lot of people tell you never play the hard ways, man, I was smacking the hard ways. I won two $5 hard tens for the dealers. Of course, they were digging that. And all my hard ways, I was at $20 or $25 at the hard ways. I was at $30 or $36 on the 6 or 8. I had quarters on the 5 and 9. You know, I had $30, $40 odds behind the line. And I had 11 minutes of that. And I like I said, it was just one of those magical times. It wasn't the longest dice throw I ever had, but it's the longest one I had in a long time, 31 minutes. So my grip, I have my index finger, my second finger, and my little finger on the outside of the dice. That's the two fives. And I have my thumb in the middle of the two dice behind it, and I have my third and fourth finger in front of the dice. And I just put my arm up, and before my arm's parallel, about three quarters, I put a backspin on it, and I try to throw, I would say, an inch and a half away from the back wall, and so the dice come up underneath those little pyramids that come out. That was what I was trying to do. I'm not saying I did it every time, but I didn't throw a seven for 31 minutes. You know, even on the comeouts, I was just, like I said, and you start thinking, boy, this is real. So again, you know, I know in my heart, I think I can influence dice outcomes with setting the dice. And I'm not saying for anyone to believe that I can control dice, and I don't think anyone can control dice. But I'm just telling you, that's the illusion, that's the feeling you get when you get into these zones of, you know, oh my goodness, you just keep making numbers and numbers and numbers. And some of those numbers are points, and some aren't. But when you have money on the points, you know, you just start making money, then you start putting money on hard ways and pressing that up. And it's, you know, it's a wonderful day. And so $1,400 later, I go over to Janie and then I triple the $25. You know, she's winning too. She has, I don't know, $180, $190. She said she's up. And then I triple that $25 to another $75. So then we have a 2-for-1 coupon for a nice dinner. So how can you beat that? I mean, so that's what it is. And take it for what it is. 6-4, I had talked to a young guy named Doug who sometimes contacts the show and sometimes emails me on Messenger and tells him, I sent him a picture of this. And somebody else too, a guy named Jeff, I sent him a picture of that dice set. So give it a try. I'm not saying it'll work. It just worked 1 out of 4 times, but boy, you know, it made up for the other mediocre or negative performances that I had that day. And again, I was throwing from the end of the table, and, you know, the bone thrower is one of those guys that said you can win 10 grand a day. You know, it's, when I hear those kind of people talk, I think, you know, if you could win 10 grand a day, you wouldn't be fooling around with YouTube videos. But that's just me, all right? That's just my opinion. You know, maybe he's a great guy. Maybe he makes $10,000 a day, I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is, that 6-4 set with the 3-1 in the back was just amazing. I just want to conclude today by telling you that finally, after months, if not years, of hype about having a sports book in Pittsburgh, just a day or so ago, the Rivers opened up their sports book, and there was a river cutting ceremony at the Rivers Casino in downtown, right beside the stadiums, and we're pretty excited about it. Pennsylvania, I've said this, just taxes the living hell out of the casinos. And the sports book, there's a 36% state tax on the gross gaming revenue. So I don't know how many casino operators are going to want to get into this business, but Nevada, in comparison, imposes just 6.75% state tax. So, you know, anyway, I told you Pennsylvania taxes the living hell out of casinos in general and the sports books. But it was packed. I wasn't there for the opening, but the Pittsburgh newspapers and the area newspapers and the suburbs had pictures, and it was packed. So finally, you can place bets legally in Western Pennsylvania at the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. And so from the entire gang here at Casinos USA, there's a crew, and they're spread out all over the place. But right here in the studio, from Coach Fab and Janie, Merry Christmas!
Hey, every day is Saturday.
And the IT guy that we talk about, but he never comes on and speaks in the podcast, and that's Connor, a young man in his early 20s. He'll be with us, and then we'll hook up with everybody else. So we're excited about that. You know, we've said over and over for the last couple of years, Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. But before we say goodbye today, we want to say Merry Christmas. We'll yell it out here. And that would be from our friend Chris and Nick and Scott and Jill and Jimmy and Kristen and Patrick and Coach Fab and Janie. So from all of us here at Casinos USA, here we go. And we always say, and I hope you agree, Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday.